folks, welcome back to Dub After. This is Chris once again. Hey, folks, welcome back to Chris White Africa here on Indaba Africa Broadcasting Network. Today is the 18th of May, 2021. Welcome back to Chris White Africa here on the Indaba Broadcasting Network, folks, on Tuesday, the 18th of May, 2021. Let's get right to the news and headlines for Indaba Africa News of the Day. Heineken is in talks to buy South Africa's Distill. Those are the makers of Amarula, Savannah, Hunter's Dry, Durbanville Hills, and, of course, Nederburg Wines. Price hikes are coming for electricity from the failed peristatal ESCOM, passing on outrageous, exorbitant price hikes once again in an annual event that seems to continually fleece South African consumers while failing to deliver consistent, reliable electricity and damaging South Africa's economy. Where is the money going? Certainly not in maintenance of plants. Just the past 2 days, ESCOM has had to shed 2,000 megawatts of power delivery because it lost 10 generating stations across the country. Where is all this money going? Every year, seeing annual increases of 15% or so again this year. South Africa's Competition Committee is looking into online markets like Takealot and Uber Eats. Perhaps they should take a closer look at South Africa's abysmal business environment, its anti-business rhetoric, and its racist legislation, which stunts entrepreneurialism and states' punitive policies against the market. There's a reason why there is a limited number of players in the field. It's because the state prevents commerce. And a new South African airline, Skylink, not to be confused with South Africa's largest air carrier, SA Airlink. Skylink is set to launch in September, and it will rely on the controversial Russian SSJ-100, of which it's going to get 10, 5 outright purchase and 5 under a wet lease. Namibia has banned all poultry imports from South Africa now after another outbreak of avian flu. Last month they banned imports from one particular farm in Herkelini. Now all poultry from South Africa is banned from entering Namibia. President Ramaphosa endorses solidarity with Palestine. And Germany is near an agreement with Namibia over the well over a century old conflict with the Herero, in which 65 to 75,000 Herero died in a conflict which they started after murdering 300-plus German settlers living in Namibia. President Hage Geingob of Namibia is distancing himself from the Namibia Broadcasting Corporation strike that's taking place. 30 people sentenced to death in Eid riots in Kinshasa, a country with virtually no Muslim population, saw vast outbreak of dangerous violence, which led to the brutal slaying and beating to death of a police officer this past Thursday. 30 people already sentenced to death over that event. Botswana's Isaac Makwala has qualified for the Olympics for the second time. His first appearance was in 2016 in Rio. He's qualified for Tokyo. The 36-year-old. Lieutenant Colonel Lohmeyer's self-published book, available on Amazon, is now the number one seller on Amazon. One day after the Epic News pointed out that he had been relieved from command over his comments about the defense secretary. Nigeria is finally getting the act with 5G. Welcome to the crowd. A bit belated there, Nigeria, but Nigeria is now moving towards 5G mobile services. And you too can own a McLaren. For just $225,000 US, you can buy the Artura, a hybrid supercar from McLaren. It's beautiful. And it gets 19 miles on a single charge. Somehow I don't think I would push a vehicle that gets 19 miles on a single electrical charge, 30 kilometers. And today, folks, was the 18th of May, 2021. It is election day here in Pennsylvania, and I voted on 2 constitutional amendments to amend our constitution to restrict the powers of the dictatorial fascist head of state executive, the governor of this state, and return power to the legislature and the citizens. And also candidates were running for office today as well. And those are the news and headlines from today, the 18th of May, 2021. Let's get to in-depth analysis and comments on the news, ladies and gentlemen. As I mentioned, Heineken is looking to buy South Africa's Distill, or at least the majority share in it. That is quite an interesting development, to say the least. South Africa's economy is in the crapper, but Distill has been doing quite well despite everything. Heineken in talks to buy South African brewer Distill. The world's second largest brewer, after AB InBev, is in talks to acquire South African wine and spirits maker Distill Group. Owner brands like Amarula, Savannah, Hunter's Dry, Durbanville Hills, and Nederburg said this on today on a statement. The parties have entered into discussions which, if successfully concluded, may have an effect on the price of the company's securities. Bearing in mind that there can be no certainty that an agreement will be reached, shareholders are advised to exercise caution in dealing in their Distel securities until a further announcement is made. A takeover of Distel, which currently has a market value of about 32 billion rand, will be Heineken's most significant transaction in several years. Now, Distel has done quite well. In a period of uncertainty and disruption, the group commendably grew revenue by nearly 4% to 15.4 billion rand on slightly higher volumes. That's amazing given how much alcohol was banned over the past year. Revenue excluded excise duty grew by 2.5% in the domestic market. 41 trading days were lost in the reporting period due to the second and third sale of alcohol bans introduced by the government. But they are growing outside of South Africa, and that is why they're of interest to Heineken. Focus markets on the African continent outside of Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia, and Eswatini grew revenue by almost 20% and volumes by 20.3%. Kenya, Nigeria, and Mozambique all recorded strong double-digit growth as investments in people, systems, and skills continue the route-to-market rollout in country production delivery on a strategic intent to grow the business across the continent. Additionally, the customer footprint saw sales grow from 37,500 outlets from just 9,000 2 years ago. So Heineken is in the market for South Africa's Distel. We shall see what happens there. Quite an interesting development, to say the least, in a very challenging spirits market, alcohol, beer and spirits market in South Africa, given the government's intrusion. Well, that's comms at it again, ladies and gentlemen. Look forward to July pay hikes or charges, increased charges for the unreliable supply electricity that you have come to not count on in South Africa. Yep, that's what I'm talking about. Price hikes to hit South Africa in the coming months. An estimated increase of 17.8% for the supply of electricity to all municipalities will be implemented on July 1st. Country's major municipalities will announce their own individual increases to be applied from July 1st, so it could be even higher. This is what Eskom is going to charge the cities. The cities could charge you even more. Watch your electricity prices go up yet again, South Africa. Based on the 21-22 budget for the city of Cape Town, advised that the average electricity increase from July 1st will be around 13.5%. For Tshwane and Johannesburg, it'd be closer to 14.5%. And for Durban, 14.9%. Unbelievable. Where does this money go, ladies and gentlemen? I ask you, where does this money go? Do we even know? Meanwhile, South Africa's Competition Committee is looking into monopolistic practices by online retailers and online marketplaces, such as Takealot, the Amazon equivalent in South Africa, and Uber Eats. Competition Commission will shortly launch its online intermediation platforms market inquiry. Covers online markets that facilitate transactions between businesses and consumers for the sale of goods, services, and software. Commission previously highlighted the following companies which are a possible cause of concern. E-commerce, Takealot, is substantially larger than other online platforms and operates a marketplace in which many businesses use are now dependent as a route to market. Sounds a lot like Amazon. In most service delivery platforms, there are one or two dominant providers. For instance, in food delivery, Mr. D and Uber Eats account for the bulk of trade, whilst Airbnb has been the market leader in home sharing accommodation. Travel Start has emerged as a leading provider in travel aggregation. And the list goes on and on. The dominance of Android in mobile phones gives Apple Pay a particularly dominant position, but equally Apple App is the only option for iPhone users. Well, I appreciate their concern. I am not a fan of monopolistic practices and antitrust legislation, something I'd love to see here for high-tech, big-tech companies in the United States that have a monopolistic position as a group of oligarchs running the internet economy. And I welcome antitrust legislation here. But in South Africa, the reason for antitrust is far less clear. For instance, South African entrepreneurs are discouraged from starting businesses because they're denied contracts with the government, which eats up nearly half the economy. If you cannot rely on half the economy, how can you possibly have a chance for success in a country like South Africa when so many suppliers deal with the government and are afraid to deal with you if you don't have BEE certification? So racist policies undermine entrepreneurialism, the government's theft, the government's failure to maintain infrastructure, the government's outright effort to steal corporations. We see now in the National Petroleum Bill that's come out, they want to steal 20% of all exploration and exploitation of hydrocarbons in South Africa after a big natural gas discovery. How can you trust that? It's no wonder that there's only a small number, not to mention prohibitively high cost, the government's malicious behavior during the pandemic with the National Coronavirus Command Council, an undemocratic, unelected, unaccountable, capricious body, which has destroyed South Africa's economy. It is shattered. It is a mere shadow of what it should be and what it was. It's disgraceful. So before you look at monopolistic practices, you should look at the monopolistic practices of Eskom, SAA, Transnet, Airports Company South Africa. Those are monopolies, not SAA. It's bankrupt, but it tried to be a monopoly. Well, in the South African aviation market, a new player has come along. Successor to SAA, hardly, yet another player. Skylink Airways aims to fill a vacuum left by South African Airways, which Airlink SA is already doing. SA Airlink is already filling that vacuum, and Comair will do the same. It is becoming the first Sukhoi Superjet 100 operator in Africa. Well, good luck, folks. This is a very troubled aircraft with a very troubled history. So the company was established by entrepreneur Clarence Andreas Steyn, who laid out the plan in an interview with Aerotelegraph. This is the website. According to the founder, the airline already found potential investors from Russia and South Africa and started hiring ex-SAA personnel. For the near future, they aim to start operations September 2022 and fly mostly to South African destinations as well as several neighboring countries. They'll operate two Embraer E190s, those are good aircraft, and 10 SSJ Sukhoi Superjet 100 regional airliners. Five planes are going to be purchased and five will be leased. But the thing about the SJ-100 is that nobody else wants it. Brussels Airlines, which actually flew the aircraft, and CityJet have dumped them from their inventory. Parts are unreliable. Since then, the SSJ-100 has only been employed by Russian airlines and various governmental bodies such as the Royal Thai Air Force and the Kazakh government. So this will be the only commercial airliner in the Western world that's actually flying it. Some of the challenges with the Superjet include the fact that back in 2010, when they were producing the aircraft, its manufacturer, there was an investigation at the factory, and they found out that at least 70 of the employees used fake education diplomas. They fraudulently got their jobs saying they're qualified without the education. On May 9th, 2012, the newly launched aircraft crashed during a demonstration tour. All 37 passengers and 8 crew were killed. They blamed it on human error. Throughout its years of service, the plane has been deemed as unreliable by several of its operators who have either reduced or canceled their orders. Many of them complained of the difficulty to acquire spare parts from the constructor, hindering the availability of the aircraft. As of early 2014, the Interstate Aviation Committee, the Civil Aviation Authority of the Commonwealth Independent States, voiced its concern. Even in Russia, aviation authorities concerned about the abnormally high number of incidents involving the aircraft. In September 2018, Aeroflot placed an order of 100, yet a month later, there was a lawsuit a month later. Claimed $7.7 million. The engine powering the aircraft, the SAM-146, manufactured by a Franco-Russian joint venture, PowerJet, shows early wear between 2,000 and 4,000 hours, despite the claims from manufacturer that its life is 7,500 to 8,000 hours. In November 2018, Brussels Airlines announced the recurring problems affecting their four Sukhoi Superjet 100 aircraft, would be forced the company not to renew their lease, opting for the Bombardier CJR-900s instead. So that is what's going on. So Skylink plans to fly in 2022 in South Africa, entering the aviation market with Russian-built aircraft that have a dodgy reputation. Well, folks, I don't care what they charge. I'll be looking elsewhere for my flights when I come to South Africa. Meanwhile, Namibia has banned all poultry imports from South Africa over avian flu outbreak. Namibia has banned all imports of poultry and poultry products from South Africa after further outbreaks of avian influenza were detected in South Africa. Last month, they suspended imports from one commercial egg-producing chicken farm in Ekurhuleni, east of Johannesburg, after the death of around 300 birds. Consignments containing poultry products packed in their final packaging on or after March 19th were refused entry into Namibia. Last month, Botswana also banned the import. After an outbreak of the highly pathogenic H5N8 strain of avian flu in 2017, which saw poultry farmers culling millions of birds, neighboring countries, including Zimbabwe, Botswana, and Namibia, banned poultry imports from South Africa. And there you have it again, folks. Poultry bans from South Africa. Not good for South Africa's crippled marketplace. And South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa has endorsed or expressed solidarity with Palestine, equating the situation with the experience of apartheid in South Africa. He says it reminds him of what happened to millions during apartheid. This by the Andalou News Agency, a Turkish news agency not known for their objectivity. Being forced from one's home at gunpoint is a trauma not easily forgotten and is carried across generations. As a country, we are still living with the residual effects of the callous acts carried out in the name of apartheid spatial planning, wrote President Ramaphosa. Germany is near an accord with the government of Namibia over the genocide of Herero and Nama people back at the turn of the 20th century after Herero attacked German settlements, murdering over 342 German men, women, and children, launching a war from which they were unprepared, and the German colonial forces, the Schutztruppe, pushed them into the Omahake Desert, and then in an effort to exterminate them, made a great effort at that and wiped out a significant portion of the Herero people. Germany said Monday it's close to an agreement with Namibia on the killings of tens of thousands of people when Germany was the southern African country's colonial ruler over a century ago. They opened the talks back in 2015 on a future-oriented reappraisal of German colonial rule. We're in the home stretch in this issue, Foreign Minister spokeswoman Andrea Sassa told reporters in Berlin. Said another round of talks in Berlin last week and negotiations have been very constructive, but said she couldn't give further details. Historians say German General Lothar von Trotha, who was sent to what was then German Southwest Africa to put down an uprising by the Herero in 1904, instructed his troops to wipe out the entire tribe. The order also affected smaller tribes. Historians say that 65,000 Herero were killed and at least 10,000 Nama. In 2004, then-development minister Heidemarie Wieczorek-Zu traveled to Namibia and offered Germany's first apology for the killings, which she said was today would be labeled as genocide. Germany's foreign ministry has described the killings as genocide in recent years. Well, that may all be true, but Germany is not Germany. The empire of Germany, the Hohenzollern Empire, is gone. It disappeared in 1918. Weimar Republic disappeared in 1933. The National Socialist Government disappeared in 1945. Since 1948, Germany has been a federal. 1949, Germany has been a federal republic. The people alive today have no bearing, no benefit, no relationship whatsoever to the events that have unfolded from 1900, 1904. That's absolutely insane. For the Germans to apologize for this was a mistake in the first place. To express sympathy, that's a different story. Where is the sympathy for the San and for the other groups who were displaced when the Damara and the Nama moved into Namibia, when these people moved in there and displaced the indigenous population? There's no conversation about that. Also, while the acts were barbaric and arguably war crimes and even crimes against humanity, and yes, genocide from the German imperial troops that took place at that time, it has nothing to do with Germany. Shall we blame people into perpetuity for the events of a government that doesn't exist? Germany has gone through multiple governments, multiple forms of government, and generations of people. Shall we blame the Germans for defeating the Romans at the Battle of the Teutoburger Forest? Should we blame the Germans for the collapse of the Roman Empire? It's utter nonsense. It needs to stop. This sort of behavior, this collective guilt nonsense, is disgraceful. And it's old world. It's old world. Certainly not advanced, enlightened, or progressive thinking to blame others for someone else's actions. Meanwhile, President Hage Kingab has decided to step back from the Namibia Broadcasting Corporation's strike talks. President Hage Kingab has decided to leave the unfolding Namibia Broadcasting Corporation, NBC, in the hands of the Prime Minister, Sara Kugongela Amadila, after he was asked to intervene. Smartly, he stepped back. For once, he's exercising good judgment. Pretty rare, although basically the government should step back from this entire discussion. It really should have nothing to do with it. NBC workers have been on strike for the last few weeks demanding salary increments and better working conditions after the management allegedly awarded themselves backdated bonuses amounting to Namibian $5.4 million. Well, that's a legitimate beef. However, Kingab, through a minister in the presidency, Christine Hobas, responding to NAMPU in a letter, that's the union, on Friday, saying NBC employees did not explore all avenues before deciding to strike. Labor expert Herbert Jalk said the outlook for the ongoing NBC strike is grim and will not be to their satisfaction. Jalk, who was speaking on the Namibians' online talk show, The Conversation on Friday, likened NBC state affairs to liquidated Air Namibia. However, he was quick to say that the country and government need NBC and cannot liquidate the national broadcaster because it is essential to access information. Well, I would disagree with that. NBC is a millstone around the people of Namibia's neck. Why not allow commercial media to flourish? The Namibian does a very good job reporting investigative journalism and is available to people, publicly available. That site is free. They make their money off advertising, not government subsidies, not the taxpayers' back. And they're objective, by and large. So support the Namibian if you're a Namibian, not NBC. Meanwhile, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, after Eid al-Fitr-related clashes between arguing Muslim groups in one of the holiest celebrations of Islam, that comes after Ramadan, to celebrate the end of Ramadan, the Eid. Two Muslim groups in a country with virtually no Muslims. Less than 10% of the population is Muslim in the DRC. Many analysts say it's less than 5%. Whatever the actual true figure is, there aren't many Muslims in the country of 90 million people. Nonetheless, Muslims created chaos, fighting and attacking each other, beating a police officer to death, and injuring many others. And just days after these events, they've already been charged, tried, convicted, and sentenced to death. That's a pretty record, pretty fast. Imagine if we did that to the insurrectionists here in Portland, Seattle, Washington, Minneapolis. Imagine if they had that kind of justice. Our cities wouldn't have been burning for from an armed insurrection and insurgency last year, in which people declared an independent country, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, seceded from the United States. DR Congo sentences 30 people to death over clashes with police in Kinshasa. Look at that vehicle. Burned out police car outside the Martyr Stadium in Kinshasa. That's ironic, Martyr Stadium. 30 people were sentenced to death in DRC on Saturday after a one-day trial for their role in the anti-police violence marking the end of Ramadan in the capital. A policeman was killed in Kinshasa on Thursday as rival Muslim groups fought over the right to mark the end of Ramadan at a major sports stadium. A lawyer for civil parties, Chief Chishipa, told Agence France-Presse, 30 people were sentenced to death in a trial that had started on Friday, a day after the violence allegedly took place. Well, it's not allegedly. The violence took place. There's video footage of it. They have not carried out death penalties since the moratorium was introduced in 2003. Since then, death sentences have been commuted to life imprisonment. Regional government said that in addition to the police officer killed, several people hurt, and one police vehicle was burned in the fighting outside the Martyr Stadium. Kinshasa Police Chief Silvano Kasongo said around 40 people were hurt and 35 have been arrested. Two rival factions have for years disputed the leadership of the DRC's Comico Muslim Federation. This from Deutsche Welle. Dozens of police injured, one officer killed this week as rival Muslim factions clashed in Kinshasa during the Islamic Eid al-Fitr holiday. 30 people handed the death sentence. Meanwhile, in Botswana, much brighter, better news here, folks. Much better news. Oh, just looking for something right here. Sorry about that. Much better news in Botswana, where Isaac Makwala has qualified for the Olympics yet again. It's his second, Isaac Makwala's second qualification for the Olympics. He qualified in Rio in 2016. He's qualified in the men's 200 and 400 meter events at the upcoming Tokyo Olympics. Yeah, the 2020 Tokyo Olympics may be taking place in 2021. He beat the qualification times of the National Athletics Championships in Habaroni that ended on Sunday. And he is, he won, he's 35, he turns 36 in late September, and he represented Botswana at 2016 Games in Rio, finishing fifth in the 4x400 meter relay. Last month, he notched a bronze in the 4x400 meter relay at the World Relays in Poland. It was his first medal since taking gold at the Commonwealth Games back in 2018 in Australia, so a three-year gap for him as he reaches 36 years of age. Botswana's only Olympic gold medal came from Nigel Amos in 2012 in the London Olympics, where he finished in 1 minute 40 seconds, 0.73 hundredths, less than 1 second behind gold medal winner David Rustisha, who lived in Germany at the time. I was at the 2012 Olympics when Nigel Amos won that medal. It was glee and exaltation and a lot of happiness. Botswana's had several athletes qualify for the Olympics, and they have never had a medal until Nigel Amos won that gold, that silver medal in the 800 meters back in 2012 in London. And David Rustisha was actually living in Germany at the time. And I know this because he flew back with me on the same flight to Stuttgart. He was going to university in Stuttgart, and we got off the plane together. I have a photograph of him from the 2012 Olympics when I was picked up in Stuttgart. Quite fascinating stuff. Anyway, so congratulations to Isaac Makwala, who at nearly 36 years of age has qualified in among the most difficult physical events. That's speed, racing, running events. Wow, this is a pretty impressive on his part. Congratulations to Isaac, and good luck in Tokyo, assuming Tokyo does take place coming up very soon. We don't know. Majority of those polled in Japan don't want the Olympics at all because of their fears over the pandemic. Meanwhile, the lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force, who self-published a book and was recorded on a podcast in which he criticized the defense secretary, retired General Lloyd Austin, has been removed from command, but that's not the news. That was the news yesterday. Today's news is that his self-published book, which is available on Amazon, is the number one selling book on Amazon just a day later. Look what happens when people oppress. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, as I said yesterday in my analysis, what he did is inappropriate. As commissioned officers, we're not allowed to criticize our chain of command publicly. That is simply not allowed. There is a forbode on that. And doing so is what put him at risk. But the effort to squash his book is what seems like more likely taking place here. I've seen officers who run their mouths about conservative presence, including the previous president, and no action taken against them when they write public articles and do public appearances and speak ill of the president. So it seems rather selective. But all of them should be punished. It's not allowed. I abided by those rules as a commissioned officer while in uniform, and they should abide by them too. You cannot have commissioned officers, especially senior commissioned officers or mid-grade officers, running around in public undermining the leadership of their chain of command. Whether the chain of command is right or wrong isn't germane. That is not healthy for a democracy or a republic. So Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer, his book is now the number one selling book on Amazon. Wow. U.S. Air Force U.S. Space Force officer's self-published book positing that Marxist ideology and critical race theory is being spread throughout the military reached the top of Amazon's bestseller list on Sunday after it was learned that he was relieved of command. Irresistible Revolution, Marxism's Goal of Conquest and the Unmaking of the American Military by Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer reached the top of the retail website's bestseller list on Sunday. It came after he was relieved from command due to a loss of trust. Once again, he did make comments directed against the Secretary of Defense, and that is why he is out of position. Meanwhile, in Nigeria, Nigeria has decided to join the 5G revolution. Welcome to the party. A bit late, Nigeria, but it's a pleasure to have you on board. 5G. Nigeria is speeding up the plans to roll out 5G. We've had 5G here now for well over a year in the United States, and many other countries have had 5G for some time, and we don't even need Huawei to have it. Yes, Nigeria is set to join the 5G revolution. A bit tardy, but it's doing it. Picked up pace to join Kenya, South Africa, become one of the countries pioneering 5G deployment in Africa. The latest move to prepare for national activation of 5G happened this month when the communications agency signed a memorandum of understanding with communications satellite firm NigComSat to allow 5G service to ride on its C-band frequency spectrum, which accounts for 67% of commercial deployment of 5G networks globally. Importance of the spectrum for early deployment of 5G services in Nigeria cannot be overemphasized, says Umar Garba Danbata, vice chair of the Nigerian Communications Commission, in a statement. In 2019, Nigeria became the first to initiate trials, but it is quite slow. Support from operators like Huawei, ZTE, also Chinese, and Ericsson, the initial demos proved successful. That was 2 years ago. Yet Nigeria still does not have 5G service. Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a spare $225,000 sitting around, let me show you this little beauty. You're going to enjoy this. If you got $225,000 sitting around, you could get this car from McLaren. Look at that. I won't attest to the color. That's a pretty vile color. But I do like the look of that car. Looks a little small for me, though, with my legs. McLaren reveals the $225,000 Artura, its first production hybrid supercar. And it's proud to tell you that it can travel up to 19 miles on electric power alone. 30 kilometers. A fully charged car can go 30 kilometers before the battery dies. Yeah, that's going to prove highly useful to transport around the world. Yeah, I don't think you're buying this because it's a hybrid. I think you're buying it because you have $225,000 to burn. You know who I'm talking about, you tenderpreneurs in South Africa. $225,000 for this car that goes 19 miles on an electric charge. They've been in the business of making ludicrously light and ridiculously fast supercars for nearly 6 years, but it wasn't until 2021 the company put one of its high-performance hybrid designs into full production. Say hello to the $225,000 Artura. It's svelte for a supercar, even by McLaren standards. It's the first model from the British automaker to use the McLaren carbon lightweight architecture, which reduces the weight of cabling used in the electrical system by 10% compared to other McLarens and delivers a curb weight of just 3,303 pounds, including the 7.4 kilowatt battery pack. The battery pack can be refilled to 80% capacity in just 2.5 hours with a standard cable. Powertrain is driven by McLaren's new twin-turbo V6 ICE, outputting 577 horsepower and 431 pounds of torque. Yeah, that's a powerful machine there. And on a full charge, it'll go 30 kilometers. You gotta love it, folks. You've absolutely got to love it. Anyway, folks, thanks for tuning in today, the 18th of May, 2021, to Indaba Africa News of the Day. We'll catch you here on the Night Owls edition later today on YouTube. Thank you so much for your support and patronage. God bless.